This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast.
Now, it's quite a while ago that I had a strange intuition something was wrong with the gold record situation. Why, they say, with so much adoration. Well, I can't see that that makes it right. So for a while, I'll just play my guitar.
I'm Father Ian Dellinger.
And I'll play a couple of tunes, yes, yes.
And I'm playing with
and
food.
I know that it may not get me too far, but it's the only thing I believe that's true.
If you know your 1960s TV and Britpop, you'll know that the song you just heard was The Monkees and is entitled Naked Persimmon. The word persimmon doesn't feature in the lyrics, but nonetheless, I believe it to be a suitable introduction to this month's Playing with Food, featuring none other than persimmons. I rent a house in San Luis, and there is a persimmon tree in the backyard. I first heard of persimmons when I lived in San Jose, and someone I went to church with brought persimmons to church because her tree was overloaded. I somehow got the impression that being bountiful was a characteristic of persimmons. So when I realized that I had a persimmon tree, I immediately knew that December was going to be a challenge. You see, I believe wasting food is unethical and immoral, so I naturally want to find good uses for each and every persimmon on that tree. Living alone with my only companion being my kitten Smokey, a couple of hundred persimmons were going to prove a challenge. Fortunately, I have a natural distribution center that is my church. It is also an opportunity to do some really fun playing with food. First, I had to find out what these oranger-than-orange fruits are and where they came from. So I met up with an expert in a diner in Santa Maria.
Good morning, Father Ian. Thank you so much for having me here today. My name is Alicia Taff, and I represent the California Rare Fruit Growers Central Coast Chapter. The name is a bit of a misnomer. We grow everything under the sun, focusing on community outreach and education through high schools for the public. If you like to grow things, we're the people for you. The persimmon that most folks are familiar with are the hachia and the fuyu. The hachia being the heart-shaped or pointy-ended fruit, and the fuyu being the more squatty, almost pumpkin-shaped fruit that's hard. They were imported, brought in probably in with a lot of migrant workers, Japan, and also China. Persimmons are indigenous from those areas. We have the luxury of enjoying those fruits here today. Persimmons are extraordinarily hardy. They tolerate extreme cold. They love the heat. And they are prolific producers. They're not difficult to grow. If they're happy in your area, you'll have more fruit than you know what to do with. I know a lot of people here along the Central Coast had a bumper persimmon year. If they normally produce a little bit too much, this year was about 10 times too much.
Bumper persimmon year at about 10 times too much? She ain't kidding. Alicia had more to say about the production and distribution of this Japanese delight.
They require adequate water. I wouldn't say they're drought tolerant in that regard. They require adequate water. They grow on the Central Coast. They grow inland in the Central Valley. You can grow them where it's very cold. So they do remarkably well. They're prolific. I think it takes them a little while to grow and get established. I mean, at least the people that I am around, we know about persimmons. I think because it's not a common fruit, it isn't an orange, apple, or a pear, you know, a banana. But more people are getting to know about it and realize that it's healthful for you. It's a wonderful tree to have in your yard because it does produce so much. You can share with your neighbors. You can bake and cook with them. There are numerous commercial producers. So you'll see them often now in Costco, and a lot of those persimmons are coming out of the Central Valley here in California. I just spoke to a friend this morning in Boston that ate her first fuyu persimmon. In terms of commercial production for hachia, the challenge is that people like to buy a product and then eat it right away. They're just ready to go. Hachias aren't designed that way. Hachias need to be bledded. And what that means is before all of this transcontinental shipping, people would wait until the fruit frosted on the tree. And once it frosted hard, the fruit gets very soft. And that removes the astringency from the fruit. And then you're able to eat it as is. You basically, a lot of people just cut it and scoop it out with a spoon. It's delectable. Or they would make it into the puddings, the cakes, the cookies, you name it. So the hachias require that they are extraordinarily soft, like an avocado that you wouldn't want to eat. So they have to be very soft. So that makes it difficult for you sitting, you know, sitting on the fruit at home. A lot of times they don't get shipped because people don't know what to do with them and they think the fruit has gone bad by the time that it's soft. But it's not. That's the prime opportunity to do something with the hachia fruit.
And what else is interesting is that there isn't really anything more to say about persimmons. They are a fruit. They are from Japan. There are two kinds. So I looked for what to do with them. My challenge is that I have the mushy variety of persimmons. Hachia persimmons, the ones that look like a giant orange acorn, need to ripen, like Alicia said, until they are very difficult to handle, like an overripe tomato. When I gave them away at church, I took them in hard and warned people to make sure they got super soft before they eat them. My parishioners are pretty savvy, so I'm sure they knew that already. It also means that I either have to eat them or cook with them. I can't store them. So what do I do? Here's what Alicia had in mind.
So when you have a prolific producing plant, the question is, what do I do with all of this, right? Sometimes, this is fabulous, in Japan, they do what's called a hoshigaki style persimmon. So they take the hard hachia persimmon and peel it, and then they hang it by the calyx, which is the stem on top. And they go through and they massage the fruit, which allows the sugar to come out and it preserves the fruit. So rather than wait till everything is soft and squishy and you can't do anything with it, they actually preserve the fruit in that manner. It's delicious, absolutely delicious. We do that at home at my house. My husband peels the fruit by hand. We use an apple peeler, which is a lot of fun. And then he hangs the fruit until it's dried and then we actually stuff it with pecans, which is delicious. Then that keeps a lot longer.
The curry sounds really nice, but I'm not going to peel and hang them. And I'm certainly not going to massage them. When I looked online to see what the Japanese do with them, I got a bit worried. Their way of preserving them results in something that looks like a dead mouse. Judy Starr of Star Ranch Winery outside of Paso Robles has a driveway lined with persimmons. Maybe she has some suggestions.
They are mostly hachia persimmons. On the driveway, I'd say there are about four fuyu persimmon trees. Now, fuyus are very easy to deal with because they're like an apple. You can eat them when they're crisp, fresh off the tree, bite right into them. They're delicious. A hachia persimmon is a little different. Both of these varieties are Japanese, by the way. Hachias are shaped differently. A fuyu is shaped a little bit like a flat pumpkin. A hachia is like an acorn, it's a little pointed at the bottom. But you can't eat hachia persimmons when they are crisp because they're very, very astringent. They will make your mouth pucker in the most unpleasant sort of way. The only way you can eat a fresh hachia persimmon that is palatable is if it is so ripe that it has the consistency of a water balloon. It's very, very, very soft. It's like yogurt. In fact, it makes a nice yogurt accompaniment. The problem with hachias is that they have to go to the store when they're hard. So when you see them in the markets, they're quite hard. People take them home, they bite into them, they say, I don't like that. And why would they like that? Because it's much, much too bitter. As a ripe product, they're too fragile to ship. So it's a difficult marketing thing for persimmons. When I came here 16 years ago and I acquired the persimmon line driveway by accident, I was stunned by the fact that there was so much fruit going to waste. My daughter was living here at the time for a brief period, and so we set about determining what we could do with those persimmons. So we did a number of things, but one of the things that we did that was sort of the key to success was that we bought a small kitchen dehydrator and we peeled them with an apple peeler, which was a very tedious task. And we dried them and we found out that they were actually quite delicious. So the first year we had this tedious operation whereby we dried them and we actually brought them in when they were firm because you can only slice them when they're firm and they're also not palatable. So what made us do it, I'm not quite sure. We realized that what happened if you dried them low at a low temperature and very slowly for a long period of time, that they ripen, essentially. So the flavor of a dried persimmon becomes that of, it's almost pumpkin-like, pumpkin, sweet potato, but very, very, very sweet. But sweet in a more vegetable way, not sweet like a dried apple or that kind of sweet. So it's a what I call a savory sweet. Being in the wine business, that was a plus because they're actually quite good with wine. So it was a discovery that we made just because we felt we had to find something to do with them. And I have looked for dried persimmons and found dried persimmons in many Whole Foods stores and large grocery stores, but for the most part, they tend to be fuyus. I personally don't think that the fuyus are as flavorful as the haichias, and they don't make as pretty a dried product as the haichias. The haichias are a very vibrant, beautiful orange, very seasonal for the time of year in which they ripen. The fuyus, once they're dried, are turned sort of a brownish color. So they don't have that really pretty, pretty, pretty orange that you get in the haichias. When we're finished, I do 400 to 600 pounds of dried persimmons a year. I think, generally speaking, it takes 8 pounds of raw product to make 1 pound of dried fruit. If I want 400 pounds of dried persimmons, that means I need 3,200 pounds of fruit to produce that. That's roughly a ton and a half. After we've picked a ton and a half of fruit, it looks like we've taken nothing from the driveway.
There you go. Someone else who was playing with food, playing with persimmons, and came up with a sideline business. I tasted the dried persimmons. They are very, very tasty. If she had the capacity to use all of her fruit, she would end world hunger with the number of persimmons along her quarter-mile driveway. It was stunningly beautiful to drive along the S-shaped road flanked by leafless trees with what seemed like bright orange Christmas decorations. When looking for others who were doing creative dishes with persimmons, I came across a brand new restaurant in Los Alamos, Valle Fresh, run by Chef Conrad Gonzalez.
So persimmons for us is a seasonal fruit ingredient that we like to use during this time, all from a local farm. We've pickled them and we've also made salsa out of them. So we use it as a garnishment on the tacos. We'll do like a smoked salmon with a persimmon salsa. For us, the fuyu works perfect because the texture is really good. It's almost like the texture of a unripe tomatoes. It cuts well, it lends well for a pico de gallo style salsa. I've also pickled them, a quick pickled version, and it holds up pretty well. But as far as like the other kinds, I would do maybe a jelly or a chutney. That would probably work really well, and you can can that and it will hold for years. You know, I would probably mix it with maybe something of like a pork, but also use some type of vinegar also with it, maybe like a pickled vegetable of some sort, pickled onion or jalapeno. Maybe you're getting the pork, the fattiness from the pork, the sweet, and then the spicy. That would probably lend very well, yes.
Unfortunately, I can't do that kind of salsa with the type of persimmons I have, but I might be able to do the more saucy type of salsa, and I'm not going to make jelly. Well, I could and give it away as Christmas presents.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's December and Christmas is in the air. While others are making Christmas cookies and Christmas candy, I'll be playing with persimmons. I have plenty of suggestions from Alicia, Judy, and Conrad, and as with other sweet foodstuffs that I've played with, I don't want to just lurch to a dessert. I want to be more creative. I'll start by tasting the fresh raw product and then trying to make some pulp. It is so very orange, I can't believe it. So I'm going to smell it first. It doesn't really have a smell. It has a smell of fruit. It just smells like fruit. And I'm gonna taste it. And do I have a chaser somewhere? Just in case it's not very good. Here we go. Again, like its smell, it tastes like fruit. It doesn't taste like anything else but fruit. It's good. It's sweet, not super sweet, but sweeter than most things. It's probably on par with a ripe peach. From a 7 very overripe persimmons that I put in the blender with the peel and the seeds and everything. I didn't do anything but take the stem off, blended them up, pushed them through a sieve. I now have about 6 cups of bright orange pulp ready to be used for something. So here we go. I now have enough pulp to last me the rest of my life. I really need to figure out what to do with it. Sure, I'll make some cookies for coffee hour at church, but what else? I'll try making a saucy salsa.
If you think about it, not all salsas in Mexican restaurants are chunky. There are smooth ones as well. So I'm going to see what I can do to take some sweet and some heat and mix it up to make something really nice. So what I'm going to do here is take some pulp from the high chia persimmon, some serrano chili, some cilantro, and see if it can be a nice dipping sauce, and then maybe mix it with a vegetable for a side dish. And of course, I have a tendency to use what's in my fridge. So I just happen to have this mixture of celery, onions, and parsley, and then I've got some puree, and then I've got a serrano, some garlic, and I'm going to put it all in the blender with a little bit of tomato as well, and the cilantro. It tastes like a sweet jam of persimmons with cilantro and serrano in it. It's not bad, but it didn't really change the character very much. Maybe I need to make it hotter. I'm gonna put some more serrano in it and see what happens. That changed it a little bit. Put the lid back on and let it sit for a while, because with all sauces, the flavors need to meld.
I tried various ways of making the salsa to my liking. It's just too sweet. So I left it in the fridge for about a week while I thought about what to do with it. What else did my resources tell me?
They're actually quite nice with a little cheese on top, particularly a soft cheese like a goat cheese. You can garnish it with a little green dill or whatever, maybe even basil, whatever you happen to have around.
Judy's suggestion of goat cheese makes me think I can pair strong flavors with the persimmon and maybe even something salty. Let me look in the fridge. Go to the fridge. I actually have some pepperoni in the refrigerator, and I have some ungrated, you know, some solid Parmigiano Reggiano. Let me give that a try. Okay, I'm going to try a small slice with the pepperoni. I'm going to try a small slice with the Parmigiano Reggiano. And then I'm going to try a small slice with them together. So we've got a persimmon with some pepperoni. Believe it or not, the persimmon taste overpowers the pepperoni taste. This is a very powerful, powerful fruit. It is somewhat tempered by the pepperoni, but I can tell you, if I didn't know their pepperoni was there, I possibly wouldn't have known that there was pepperoni there. Very strong taste. It doesn't taste that strong when it's on its own, but it did when I had it with the pepperoni. So now I'm going to try it with the Parmigiano Reggiano. Not a bad combination, but I will tell you the sweetness of the persimmon, because they're so sweet, you wouldn't even know that there was a savory with it. It completely drowns the flavor there. So now I'm going to try it with pepperoni, Parmigiano Reggiano, and this high chia persimmon. Got a little mouth bite thingy and see if I can taste anything but persimmon. Survey says no. It's just persimmon. That is amazing that you've got this fruit that overpowers any other flavor that you put with it. Because pepperoni is not a mild flavor. I mean, it's pretty strong, but We're going to find something, whether it's an appetizer or whether it's a main course, we're going to find something other than a dessert to do with this persimmon. I might have to perfect that combination at some point in the future, because I'm sure it could possibly work. But now it's on to making something for dinner. Conrad in Los Alamos suggested working with pork and jalapenos. Let's see what I can do in that milieu. I found a Middle Eastern chutney recipe that I'm going to make as a sauce.
I'm going to use about 2 cups of the puree. I'm going to skip the sugar that's involved in this recipe because I can always add it later. I'm going to use a little bit of cider vinegar, some lemons, skip the raisins, a little bit of ginger root. This recipe calls for a lot. Cinnamon, ground pepper, cumin, salt, ground cardamom, which you have to find in a specialty shop, ground coriander, star anise, and some cloves. Throw that all in the pot, let it boil, and then start working on all the other parts of the meal. I cooked a pork chop under the broiler just with plain salt and pepper because I wanted to see how the sauce worked with it. I sauteed myself some spinach with garlic and onions, and I made myself some brown rice. I'm serving it with a drier red wine to balance the sweetness, and we'll see how it goes. And the true test is in the tasting. So a little bite of just the pork chop, which is perfectly done. The persimmon sauce, which now looks like pumpkin puree because of the spices that I put in it. Absolutely perfectly balanced. The sauce by itself is wonderful. It's very Christmassy, which persimmons come out at the Christmas to Thanksgiving time of year with those spices from the Middle East. It was still sweet when it was in the pan. I didn't add any of the sugar that the chutney recipe called for. This combination isn't sweet and meat at all. It's a really wonderful, warm combination with this sauce that has a little bit of a Christmas feel to it. And I take a drink of my Argentinian Malbec. It all seems perfect. I think I've made something here.
And I tried another Middle Eastern way of using persimmons.
I've been thinking about what kind of main dishes have sweet fruit in them, and I'm thinking about things that might have pears or apples, even orange juice or something like that. Sticky ribs came to mind, but I don't think I have the time to put together some sticky ribs. And to be honest, I'm not really good at cooking ribs anyway. But I do know that in the Middle East, they do like lamb and some type of fruit. So I liked that sauce that I had with the pork. I think I'm going to do kofta, lamb meatballs, simmered in a persimmon sauce with some nice earthy spices in it. So I've got my ground lamb here from the store. Garlic, red pepper, black pepper, cumin, some onions, a little bit of water, and a teaspoon of salt. And I'm going to mix that all up and fry them and then simmer them in the sauce. I've made the lamb mixture for the kofta. Put all the spices in it, dusted them with a little bit of flour, and now I'm going to fry them in some hot oil. After searing them a bit, I've taken them out and dabbed them and taken the oil out of the pan, but I kept the scrapings in the pan to give the flavor there. And then I took the puree that I made that's been sitting with the spices in it and the spices melding and getting more flavorful, and I've poured that back into the pan and put the meatballs in it to simmer until they're done all the way through. And then I'm going to serve them with some rice and perhaps a side of sautéed spinach, because that's what I have in the fridge. So we've got this beautiful meal here of basmati rice and these meatballs with persimmon sauce with my side of spinach, and we're going to give it a taste. This is really nice. As I said in the beginning, I'm not a real fan of sweet and meat or fruit and meat, but this is really nice because their persimmons, when they cook down, lose a little bit of their sweetness, but gain a little bit of savoriness and complement the gamey flavor of the lamb. I think I've done a good job here, and I think I would recommend this. And what it's making me think is, the next thing I'm going to try, I think I'm going to try persimmon braised pulled pork. I've got a lot of persimmons, so putting a pork butt in a crock pot with persimmon puree, if I can come up with something like this, I think we've got a winner.
Those two recipes were winners, definitely. Working with persimmons in main dishes involves figuring out how to balance the incredible sweetness of the fruit.
Circle right, do do, circle right, do do, circle right, do do, shake them simmons down. Circle left, do do, circle left, do do, circle left, do do, shake them simmons down.
I don't want anyone to shake down any more persimmons. I have plenty, thanks. Playing with food in a way that deals with the sweetness got me thinking, and I still have that salsa in the fridge.
This salsa is never going to be to my liking, so what do I do with it? I've got about 2 cups here, maybe a cup and a half. I have decided that I'm going to try Hychia persimmon pulled pork. So I'm going to take this salsa with some tomato sauce, with the spices that you would use for pulled pork, and put it in the crock pot. So here we go. Here I am, several hours later, 8.5 to be exact, and I'm going to try this pulled pork with persimmons. It's got about 2 cups of persimmon pulp. It's got all the spices and the serrano that I put into the salsa. I put in 1/2 can of tomatoes and a little bit of tomato paste, some cumin, coriander, black pepper, salt, paprika. Here we go. That's kind of nice. It's different. All the flavors blended into something very different than you'd expect, because you can't really taste persimmon, but you can't taste tomato. And I think I actually magically blended some spices together, which I've never done before, to create something new. Let me taste some of the sauce. Wow. There's no hint of sweetness at all, but it's not bitter like you'd have if you had tomatoes. I think I made a new creation, and that's what playing with food is all about.
This has been a successful playing with food. I didn't think that I would be able to make anything except cookies, cake, and bread. I did make some persimmon cookies. They were okay. I also made a persimmon bundt cake using a recipe I have for applesauce bundt cake. I just substituted the applesauce with persimmons. It was beautiful, so I took it to our Christmas concert, and none of it came back. The next potluck, I'll start the pulled pork earlier so I can get feedback from others. I have about 10 containers of pulp in my freezer, all measured out into 2 cups each. I don't know if I'll have the stamina each year to process the persimmons. Alicia has a solution.
Because the persimmons are such prolific producers, if you have a tree in your backyard, give Glean Slow a call, because they'll come and they'll harvest the fruit that you have extra, and they take it to the food bank. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know
There are times of the year where there's just too much and your neighbors don't want to see you anymore. So give Glean Slow a call. That's what they do. They go around the community. They make sure that things aren't wasted. They have volunteer groups you can sign up for and go harvest. And sometimes there's enough to share with the gleaners. It's a fantastic opportunity.
The persimmon tree is stunningly beautiful when the fruit is ripe. I understand why people grow them. The fruit is tasty, but the quantity is overwhelming. If you have a persimmon tree, there are loads of ways to prepare them. When your neighbors won't take any more of them, pulp them and freeze it. Alicia considers us lucky.
We can grow just about anything here in California, and we're so blessed to have the variety of fruits and vegetables that we do. And persimmons at this time of the year are so special. If you think about it way back in the day, what fresh thing were you gonna get after it frosted? What fresh fruit or vegetable were you gonna get? Nothing. So that's what makes the persimmon kind of special. You were still going to get a fresh, sweet fruit treat at this very cold and stark time of the year. So that was important, you know, before we had shipping and refrigeration and storage. And so the people figured out how not to waste these precious gifts.
And then there's always the option to have them go to a better place. I did all of these things with my persimmons, and I went to church the next day, and a parishioner told me what she did with the persimmons I gave her.
When I took home the persimmons that you brought to the office, I just peeled them and ate them. It was very good. It's a beautiful fruit, so it's a feast for your eyes as well.
That's always an option. This is Issues and Ideas for KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. Have a very, very Merry Christmas and a wonderful 2017. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm Playing with Food.